101.9 FM.
Welcome, 25 minutes to 10 o'clock, and we have self-esteem engineer Bev Maloon in studio. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, Nikki.
How are you?
Good.
I've missed
How are you?
I've missed you.
I missed you too. It was terrible. Mm. It was like this abyss.
Oh, my dear heart. I wasn't inspired for a whole week.
But with everything else you have going on with all these amazing guests, I'm sure someone made up for it somewhere.
Oh, Bev. Now, listen, we've got a few birth dates to work with, but let us just remind you that we get lots of birth dates while Bev is in the studio. So if you want to call us directly,
short circuit
it, 0861 24 24 36. So we've got, hi Bev and Nikki, and please help me. I really need to know what needs fixing. Have been struggling for a while with my health. Please let it hang out. Don't spare me. This is really important. The 16th of the 4th, 1949.
Okay, so don't let it, don't hold back, right?
That's what I'm getting. Don't hold back.
All right.
Please let it hang out.
Don't spare me. 16th of April, 1949.
Mm-hmm.
What needs fixing?
Mm.
You. There we go. Next person?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, so we all need fixing. We are on planet Earth. Let's just all make peace with that right now. Everyone who's listening and anyone you can share this with, tweet it, retweet it, get it out there. We all need fixing or we wouldn't be here. This isn't a place for perfect beings. There are other worlds for that, people believe. This isn't it.
Okay.
We are here because we need fixing.
Mm-hmm.
What needs fixing? You, me. Mr. T, we all need fixing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just, what a relief. Okay, it's all good. I need fixing.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's look at what needs fixing is the point, right? Because there's never just an aspect of ourselves. There is a whole plethora of opportunities for us to grow and develop on a constant basis. Now, what we are encouraged to do in our daily lives is reflect at the end of each day. A lot of different people talk about this, reflect, plan the next day, etc. But why should we be reflecting? Not on how good my day was, what I achieved, what I didn't. What did I do today that I'm proud of?
Mm.
What did I do today that I'm not proud of?
Mm.
And what can I do to refine that? Question number one.
Okay. What did I do today that I'm proud of? What did I do today that I'm not proud of? And what can I do to refine it?
That's right.
Sure. Okay.
And if you start getting into the habit of doing that in the shower or in the bath, which is dead time, and I call it dead time because almost any other time you have your phone with you. Let's not kid. People are on their phone getting into bed. They're on their phone while they're changing. They're on their phone putting on their makeup, or maybe it's just me. So it's just happening like that today, right? So if that is who you are, okay. So if it isn't who you are, well, your mind's busy with something. But in the shower, I know the one thing they haven't done yet is make the iPhone, the Samsung,
waterproof,
the,
thank
it's not
God.
Waterproof yet.
May they never make it waterproof.
I'm praying. I live in hope. I live in hope that that will remain to be dead electronic time. And therefore, it can be living lifetime.
Mm.
And in that moment where you shower, and some people say, yeah, but I only shower for 3 minutes. Okay, well, use them wisely. So you're going to be in there for 3 minutes or 15 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever it is. Use it. Let that be the time you say, so what am I proud of? What am I not? What can I do to refine it?
Mm.
Now, if we're looking at this person, and I'm going to let it out.
Okay.
This is a person who wants everything on their time, the way they want it, without boundaries, without having to discipline themselves, and yet has massive philosophies and idealisms about how everyone else should be. Okay, well, how's that working for you? And that's another question to ask when you come up with the answers. What can I do to refine it? What am I not proud of? I'm not proud of the way I spoke to this person. I'm not proud of the way I did this. I'm not proud of the way I planned this and it didn't work out because I overplanned or underplanned or whatever. Well, how's it working for me? That's the question.
Mm.
How's it working? Well, it's not. Okay, so what can I do to refine it?
Mm-hmm.
So if we've got this person here who wants to do everything the way they want it and be unbounded and not be disciplined and doesn't like to take direction from others and is strongly opinionated and hugely wants to nurture and care for and take care of other people, and this is a wonderful human being.
Mm-hmm.
This is not me criticizing you. This is me observing that this is a wonderful, nurturing, caring, capable human being who has to learn self-management. And therefore, the first question that will come up for me always with people who have to learn self-management is, how's your health doing? How's your health? Because people...
And that's so interesting because this person talks about health.
Ah, so exactly. There we go. And we'll find it across the board. Whoever's listening, if your work on planet Earth, if part of it is self-management in a way that you need to be more disciplined and live in boundaries that are serving of you and doing things deliberately that serve you, and you don't get the luxury of just skirting the boundaries and doing whatever you like. For example, a person with a liver disease does not have the luxury of just doing whatever they want whenever they want. They get sick from it. You can't just eat whatever you want. You have to manage that process. Mm. You have to be careful with that, or you go into liver detox and you get incredibly sick for a few days every time you try and get clean again, or you overindulge, etc. But another person right next to them who doesn't have that can get away with the extra piece of pizza, can get away with the extra cool drink, the extra this, the extra that. Their body homeostatically restores it as soon as possible. So some people do not have to live with as much discipline and boundary as others, right? But where your work is specifically in that area, your health will always be an issue. Where your personal refinement needs to be challenged and channeled better, and you need to be working on how you interact with other people and how your social boundaries are, perhaps you're a little too unboundaried, something will come to make you look at boundary and definition, and very often it's your health.
Hmm.
So for you, I'm going to say, lady person, whose name we don't have, I know how nurturing you are of others, and I know with certainty you're not nurturing yourself, and your health will deteriorate because of it. Your huge idealism and theology and beliefs about everything and sensitivities about how everything should be and your opinions about how the world should be are fantastic, and you should put them in a book. But what you need to do is read that book and apply it to yourself, because everything you have to say for other people and how they can improve is exactly the work you should be doing to refine your character to the point where you put you first and you manage those processes on a day-by-day, minute-by-minute basis, with integrity, with dignity, and with a grace that says, I'm endowed with the capacity to be disciplined. And because I am, I can be disciplined and raise myself higher than where I am. And I was listening to your show. I was driving somewhere the other day, yesterday. Cabello, that young guy who was on it, I tweeted his quote and put it on my Facebook page. I thought it was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. He said that you cannot be in your power if you're not directly connected to the source, because you do not have access to the power that empowers your potential. So as soon as you're off track, whether it's addictions to food, drugs, sex, mountain climbing, alcohol, or anything other than pursuing your potential and refining yourself, that's an addiction I recommend people get into. Work on you. Stop filling the voids of what you don't have with everything around you. You feel empty? Put you inside you. You get into you. Instead of putting food there, or exercise, or drugs, or mountain climbing, or smoke, or alcohol, or distraction, or TV games, or internet games, or anything else. You have a void, you look at the void. Because until you go look at it, and that's what people do in rehab, they sit and they look, why did I do this? What was the hole that kept me from feeling full enough that I didn't have to put something there that would fill me for a moment? And it never lasts. The addictions never last feeling full. And so with a person who needs direction and boundaries and a person who needs to be self-refining, we can very cleverly put something else in there instead of working on ourselves to be self-refined. And so this person very likely has put the nurturing of others, the directing of others in there. And if she's sitting and listening, she's sitting going, oh my goodness, you're right. I'm forever saving everyone else. I forever have answers for everyone else. Right, now sit down and mentor you. Now you look at you, because she's so bright and she's so capable and there's nothing lacking in the resource of this person's ability to nurture and love. Now let's put you in front of you and go love you for a while. You take care of you, you'll be just fine.
Okay, and the boundaries, you say?
Everything in life is about boundaries. We run this show from 9:30 to 10. I can arrive at 9:45. It just means 15 minutes are gone. But I cannot still expect to be here till 9:15. Everything in life has boundaries. Robots give us a boundary. Our phone gives us a boundary. Everything in life has boundaries. We can choose to fight them and thereby diminish our capacity to thrive in a day. Or we can choose to live by them and honor them and thereby thrive. It's like giving kids a ball, Nikki. You give kids a ball. What's the first thing they do? You think kids want freedom. They want to have unboundaried playtime. They want everything. You give 10 kids a ball. There's two teams. There's rules. There's boundaries. There's everything in 5 minutes. Then they can play. Now they feel free. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the discipline in which we create our structure sets us free. Mm-hmm. This is the discipline in which I play and I can perform big time. Mm-hmm. But until I have that boundary that I establish that or recognize or honor, until I have that place in which I can reach my potential, I don't have a space to do it. Like a javelin thrower, there's a boundary. There's a point in which you have to stop and then release. And you have to get as good as you can at getting to that as fast and as powerfully as possible and develop your body so when you release, you get it the furthest. But in the boundaries of what that is, you can reach your potential.
I'm sure that had a lot of meaning for the person who sent through that SMS. We hope that it did. We're going to be doing the 27th of June, 1983, A Female in a Moment. If you have just switched on the radio and you're wondering who is on the radio, it is our self-esteem engineer, Bev Malone, who joins us every Friday between 9:30 and 10. Bev looks at your birth dates. So if you would like Bev to look at your numbers, SMS us on 34519. I encourage you to call in because we'll take your call first. 0861 24 24 36.
This is 101.9
High FM.
Welcome back. It is 30 minutes to 10 o'clock. Give us a call, 0861 24 24 36. Bev, I must just read this out because we've just spent time on this person who said, please don't hold back. I want you to tell me about myself. And Bev, you've just spent time, and this person responded with, wow, you made me cry. That is on the nail. Thanks.
Nothing wrong with a bit of tears.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with tears. I hear it, and my heart goes out to you because tears are the beginning of a watershed, and it's an opening, and it says, I got it at my core, and I am ready to embrace it and do something with it. You don't cry if you keep a wall up.
Yeah.
You cry when you're so ready for the answer that you say, oh, my goodness, finally, someone makes sense. I get it now. So go and do it. And if you need more interaction, get hold of me through my website. I'm available on email. I'm available for consult. We can do the work. If you have the desire, you can have the prize. And if you don't, so you put it out there and you say, well, what do you think I should do? And you give feedback and you're indifferent. Yeah. I'd much rather hear the feedback, you touched me. I want to be touched. I want to move. So I hear, and we're putting our arms around you and go forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do it.
For sure. We have Judy on the line. Hi, good morning, Judy.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, Judy. You want to give Bev your birth date?
Yes, I want to give her my birth date, and basically I just want to know what career path to take, even though I'm a little bit older.
Okay.
It's the 25th of the 7th, 74.
25th of July,
1974.
A bit older.
You're young, Judy.
Dear Lord, Judy, I thought you were going to say 1946 or something, like a baby boomer or something. My goodness, woman, you're 38 this year. You're not even 38 yet.
Yes.
Okay.
Still unsure about which career path to take.
Yeah, well, look at why that is right now and momentarily. But, you know, at 38, people are redefining and rebeginning and looking at new ways to be in the world. And this is the perfect time to have a pre-midlife crisis. We're all living into our 90s and 100s. Mm-hmm. You're young. Yeah. Embrace it. Take a few breaths and relax. You're young.
Okay.
Okay, that's first point. You need to get that right. Absolutely. Yeah. I was waiting for this voice to be totally unmatched to someone born in the 40s, especially at my age. All right. Any other questions?
No, just the career path.
All right. You want to listen on the radio?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Judy. Thanks for calling.
Great. Okay, so I'm just trying to add up 1974 and for some reason coming up blank. 7 and 4 is 11. And 1 is
12.
Good stuff.
And you're asking the wrong person, I'll have you know. My fingers are going at 100 miles an hour.
All right.
Toby, how's your maths?
Yeah. Could you just get a calculator handy? We can just zip, zip, zip through the little numbers when my mind goes blank, Mr. T. All right, you'll have to answer. He's laughing at me. My self-esteem is intact. You can laugh at me. It's fine. All right, let's look at, was it June or Judy?
Judy.
Judy. Judy. All right, Judy. So let's do it. So which career path to take? So the truth is, there is a a fundamental misperception here. Now, I would like to say this. If you have a belief about yourself, whomever you are, that at a certain age you have to XYZ, or only people of this ilk or age can do change, mm-hmm. or only people of this background can do change, mm-hmm. and you believe that to be true, it becomes very hard to make changes no matter where you are in the world or what your opportunity level is, right? That's mm-hmm. the first thing. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I'm going to say to you is you need to sit down and evaluate what you believe to be true. That is point number one, because if you have beliefs in your life that hold you back from reaching your potential, no one can get past that. You have to get past those beliefs. That's the bottom line. So it kind of happens at school level where a teacher tells you something that you believe. And you can believe it until you're in your 30s. Mm-hmm. I had something like that with my grade four teacher. Is grade four standard two?
Standard two.
Oh, bravo. So
the four minus teacher, yes.
Yes, exactly. Right. So in my 30s, I started to work through something in my early 30s. I started to work through what my fear was about changing my career, changing my life, changing who I am in the world, and redefining myself completely, because who I was in the world 10 years ago is a totally different being to who I am today. And those who know me intimately know that. Mm-hmm. Now, there were certain beliefs I had that were holding me back. And I'm speaking this story not just to like put myself out there. This isn't disclosure central. I'm saying to you, listen to my story. There are parallels here. Mm-hmm. I see your numbers. Mm-hmm. They're parallels. Okay. So then I sat down and I thought, no, this isn't holding me, this isn't, etc. And I went for different kind of support and therapies and healings and clearings and etc. And I did a huge amount of introspection. And what I found holding me back was a number of things. But one of them was something that my grade four teacher told me. Sure. 22 years before that I believed. Mm. She did not like me. We were the Clash of the Titans, never mind Clash of Personalities. I remember to this day the smell of her classroom, the way she mocked me, the way she insulted me, the way she dragged me off to the headmaster on every other occasion and mocked me in front of him. And he adored me. And it was a very conflictual, hard, painful time for me. And that was the year in which it snowed, actually. I even remember this, looking out at the snow in her classroom, and she wouldn't let us go to break.
It?
Yes. There you go. It was in
September.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, okay.
Yes. But the good news about September was that it was almost the end of me being with her, right? So, because we were moving on to grade five. Mm.
But
that but woman
that's
had a lasting,
what you're saying,
powerful
yeah.
effect. And that's why
most
I teach my son
mm.
so deliberately all the time. If a teacher or a coach at school has anything derogatory or negative to say to you, you might want to take that and assess it to see if there's a place you can refine and improve yourself. But you dare not believe it to be true. It's coming from a place of insecurity, and it is coming from a place of condemnation, which means they are lacking in themselves. No healthy, humble, balanced person seeks to bring another down. They seek to inspire change in others. Mm-hmm. And so a teacher who is full in themselves, who sees a lacking in a child, will seek to inspire change in them. Nobody wants to live up to criticism that brings them down. That's not inspiring. There's very few people out there who go, you know what, I'll show you. I'll become the best this, 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 and this ever. Very few people do. Most people believe it. And then because they create that belief for themselves, they hold themselves back from having the courage to pursue the things that would help them realize their potential. Now you're getting it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point for this person exactly. I don't care what career path you go on. I'm not going to tell you which career path to go to. You want mentorship in that? We'll need to consult. But if you want to look on the basis of what's holding you back, why? One is your misperceptions about age. One is your misperceptions about change. Another one is your misperceptions about what you're capable of. Another is your permission you do not give yourself to reach up into your potential. And that's because of something you believe that's holding you back. So you are an intensely intelligent person with a hugely generous, compassionate, giving, affectionate spirit who holds back because of deep sensitivities and hidden trauma. Now, I don't know what that hidden trauma is. You know. And if you don't know, because sometimes those things are not obvious to us, going to look for them and releasing them will enable you to delve into more of your potential. But it's not a clinical exercise only. Some of it has to do with release. Some of it has to do with understanding where you've been and what you believed, what story you're telling yourself that is keeping you from living a story that says, wait, I'm so creative. I'm so capable. I have good ideas. I can create a following and I want to do this. What is this fear of retribution holding you back? This fear of judgment, this lack of affirmation? What is it? Only you can come to that. Only you can start the journey that looks for those answers and so that you can start to live your potential. Only you.
There we have it, Judy. Someone else wants a work profile. Lisa has SMS'd and said her date of birth is the 2nd of the 9th, 1963, work profile.
2nd of September, 1963.
Yeah, 1963, 2nd September. Lisa, this is Lisa.
Okay. And the 27th of June, 1983, I really want to do that person before we wrap up.
Oh, yes, we have. Oh, no, that we have to do that person first.
Oh, can we?
20, please, because Excellent. They did come first. Sorry, you see, Excellent. I've lost my mind. Thank you, Bev.
I have pictures.
Rein me in, darling.
No, I don't mean to, but I just love the energy of this person. I really want to
please,
go there.
Please, let's do it. The female, 27th of June, 1983.
Yes, so this lady is something else. That's what I want to tell you right up front. Something else, and she knows it. Now, what she doesn't know is how hard she is to manage herself. That's the part about her that needs refinement. You're here because you are capable of anything. And she knows it, and her family know it. Mm. Believe me, if they have not crushed the spirit, if they have not given her stuff to believe that would keep her from being willing to try any boundary, anything, she could do almost anything. But here's the catch. Mm. Here's the catch, and I'm going to put it out there right now. Think very carefully about this. I don't know if this is Mom putting it out or somebody else. I'm hoping it is actually our 27th of June 1983 person. Mm-hmm. Because the catch is this. When you're capable of doing so many things so well, and you have a natural tendency to drive yourself wherever you want to go and pull things out of the box at the last minute and make it happen, we have to be very careful where we direct our energy, because you'll be good at almost anything. And if you do not pursue the things that bring you fullness and do not raise up that enthusiasm and passion you have for your creative energy and your capable energy, you can sell yourself down the wrong path. And the other thing is, this is a person with a massive need for recognition and affirmation. Careful to hold yourself back because you're not getting it enough. Careful to not do things anyway. Mm. Remember my very simple maxim for life, if I can even get it right myself, is do nothing wrong intentionally. Mean no harm always. And live independently of the scrutiny of others so that you can raise yourself up in your own potential. Mm. And that's very pertinent for her, because there's such a huge need for affirmation and recognition and direction and etc. that somebody who needs it and doesn't receive it might hold themselves back instead of just doing it and believing in themselves enough.
I hope this person was listening.
I hope so.
I really hope. Right, last one. Lisa,
2nd
of the 9th, 1963, work profile. This is Lisa.
Right. Lisa, okay. So Lisa just has this beautiful, nurturing, caring spirit, very strong opinions, and a paradox that comes like this. Now, I know she wants a work profile, but, you know, we'll get there. Let's just look at what is the nature of the beast, right? So we have this wonderful creative mind and a nurturing spirit and a very expectant, unrealistically expectant, not unlike the person we just profiled. She's also completely unrealistically expectant. And that's something that we have to recognize, because we get disappointed a lot when we're unrealistically demanding or expectant of people around us or situations. Mm-hmm. Now, socially, Lisa's quite unrealistically expectant. And so that can lead to a lot of disappointment. But she's very nurturing and forgiving in certain ways, and then cuts people off who upset her in other ways, right? So there's a lot of paradoxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then when it comes to a work profile, so could we easily see Lisa doing something that has to do with people and taking care of people? Absolutely. Could we see her in a creative way? Yes, we can. A leadership role? Absolutely. There's a lot of absolutes here. Here's what I want to know. In that work profile, in what you're going to do, are you making certain you're willing to take direction from others? Because when you are somewhat undisciplined socially or unboundaried or not as directed as you should be, and you have a bit of shiny object syndrome and you can get distracted by this and distracted by that, when you are that kind of personality, nature doesn't change. characteristics and personality refinement can happen. But your nature essentially is your nature. It's what you came here with. So if someone turns around to you and says you're not gregarious enough, you're not gregarious enough. If you're depressed, it's different. If you're not naturally gregarious and you never have been, this is who you be. And either they make nice with that or they must go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me to change what I came into the world with. That's like saying you only have two arms. I'm really not that crazy about it.
Mm.
Well, the only choices we have is for me to cut them off or cut one off. But if you're looking for three arms, not this planet. It doesn't work that way. So, Lisa, what I'm challenging you to think about is, have people tried to help encourage you and give you direction that you have not been willing to hear? And yet you're so strongly opinionated and so clearly directed in how pretty and things must be and how you can beautify things. And she's a nurturer. She might very well be a fantastic presenter of food and hostess and et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera, right? But as far as interaction goes in the working profile, how are you taking direction? How are you managing other people? How do you lead? Do you maintain that nurturing spirit when people frustrate you, or do you get completely frustrated and almost willing to excommunicate them or cut them out or whatever it is that you might be able to do? Because a lot of what feeds into with this work profile is that she needs to raise up and allow her creativity to be liberated, absolutely, and her mind, absolutely. But part of the strength of a person is being so flexible that you can take in information from someone else, bounce it, work with it, mold it, see how it fits, and take what serves you and toss what doesn't. An inflexibility in thinking that disables me from being willing to take advice from you or information from you and work with it to see if it serves me to take some of it on is a sign of weakness, not a sign of strength.
Mm.
The Chinese Tao, they talk of this all the time. The person who can bend like a reed is the strongest. Why? Because the reed doesn't break in a hurricane. Off it goes, bending that way, bending that way, bending almost parallel to the ground. But then the sun comes out, the hurricane's gone, and the reed comes up again.
Mm.
And it searches for the light, and it aims straight up. And even if it's bent over, it remains functional but bent. Whereas the powerful trees that are rooted in the ground and they're inflexible and they won't move, but they're so strong you can't push them over or break them with one hand or anything like that, comes the hurricane. Uprooted, tossed away, no flexibility.
Mm.
So what I'm challenging here in ending is the flexibility in our being, because flexibility comes from strength. And if you look at the human body, the more flexible you are, the stronger your core muscles are, the stronger your capacity to move your body in different shapes and forms. Whereas when you haven't been doing a lot of that, you feel like you're going to break in half.
Mm.
Yes, that's my point.
Mm-hmm.
The more powerful at your core, the more flexible you be, the more functional in the world in serving of yourself.
Once again, beautiful metaphors. Thanks, Bev.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to having you again in the studio next week.
Thank you so
Bev
much.
Bev Malone, self-esteem engineer. And Bev, if people want to get hold of you, they can go to your website?
Yes, absolutely. It's bevmalun.com, MILUN.com.
There you go. Thank you, Bev.